Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back into Sports Talk on WWL. A beautiful Friday, and we walked into this show feeling real good today. Mark Menard with you, and Steve Geller filling in for Bobby Ebert and Christian Garrick. And then right at about the time we went on the air, we got an email that we certainly didn't want to see, talking about Zion Williamson with a fractured finger and out indefinitely. And that's how we head into the game tonight against the Philadelphia 76ers. And we get to bring in Ollie Cosell, editor-in-chief of thebirdwrites.com. And Ollie, it's not that we don't like talking to you, but, man, the news today was a big downer right about 4 o'clock.
Oh, boy, was it ever. I was looking forward to talking to you guys and talking about how, hey, the Pelicans are gaining ground, you know, right. 6 games left, but they were just 1.5 behind the Spurs. And even though they had a difficult schedule, you kind of felt good that at least Zion, Lonzo, team was playing better, right? And that the Spurs had a really tough schedule, but now you can just throw that almost out the window, right? I mean, it looks like the seasons of both Zion and Brandon Ingram are done, right? Even though they wouldn't commit to saying that, you got to think a fractured, finger, as well as Brandon Ingram's ankle sprain isn't just one of those itty-bitty sprains. It sounds like it's something that's at least going to take a couple of weeks to heal. So, like I said, you lose your top two scorers in a dogfight that's the West with 6 games left to go. It looks like the Pelican season is unfortunately over.
It is unfortunate, and, you know, as it is, it was going to be a tough task because they're about to embark on a 5-game road trip. And then in the season, in their 6th game, hosting the Los Angeles Lakers, who might actually need to play hard and win that game because they might be fighting to get out of the play-in spot.
Exactly. Yes, this is not a cupcake schedule. 5 games on the road starting tonight in Philadelphia against the best team in the East, right? Even though New Orleans had beaten the Philadelphia 76ers here at home last month, they had pretty much all their guys, the key guys, available. Well, tonight, you know, already you guys know, no Zion, no B.I., but also there's no Steven Adams. And, of course, you add no Josh Hart, no Nikhil, and suddenly, yeah, the team, you really don't see any which way that they can win tonight, or maybe even another game the rest of the season. And, like I said, it takes the wins right out of your sails. When this was the time you wanted to see these meaningful games, because I'll tell you what, I had a blast watching both of those Warriors games. And then, of course, that win beforehand against the Minnesota Timberwolves, right, to just keep alive, to keep stay in the thick of things for that play-in tournament. But now, yeah, it's unfortunate. We've got to move on, it looks like, from that.
Ollie, you mentioned all that, and there's just been a ton of frustrating things that year in and year out seem to happen to this team. How much has covering the Pelicans aged you, my man?
All I got to do is look in the mirror, and I'm reminded every time. I feel like I see a few more grays every time, but no. It's unfortunate. You know why? More so this season than any other, because it felt like health was not an issue, right?
Right.
Up until April, this team was largely almost completely healthy. The starting lineup was almost always starting out games together, right? The original starting lineup. And suddenly you had some of those injuries crop up at the start of April. But it looked like they were turning that corner, right? Everybody seemed to be back outside of course, Josh Hart and Nikhil. But yeah, now all of a sudden it's like you get slammed with the injury gods frowning upon New Orleans one more time, right at the season then, and that's unfortunate, to lose both of your superstars.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me play silver lining here. What if the Pelicans were to go out tonight and get the win over the 76ers? Would that give you a little bit of hope that maybe they could weather this storm and get a couple of wins and get into the play-in game? Or do you feel like even that would be a little bit empty if Ingram and Zion are both out for that?
The supreme optimist, Mark Menard.
No, I love the optimism. And I'll tell you what, if they had just had either Zion or Ingram playing, then you can at least foresee that potential existing. Because Lonzo Ball's playing great. And when he gets a little bit of help off the bench from Najee Marshall, James Johnson, whoever, you know, just get your 10, 12 points, then that's great. But when you lose, what is it, combined 50 points or something close to that? Now, it's impossible to see, unfortunately. So, I mean, hey, it could happen. It could be a defensive struggle, right? We get a game, they end up under 100. Lonzo goes for 40, and they happen to win. But then guess what? They got to do it five more times because there's no more easy games on the schedule. Everybody that the Pelicans have to face still this year looks primed to either be in the playoffs or at least the play-in tournament. So, yeah, those odds just aren't good, Mark. I'm sorry. I wish I could be more optimistic.
Look, it is what it is. You can't pull things out of midair here to try to help the Pelicans. It's an unfortunate occurrence here that the injuries have bitten them so hard in such key positions as we move into the end of the season. But you also got to look at, you know, if they had taken care of a little more business during the season, maybe it wouldn't be so dire right now, right?
That is without a doubt the hidden message that probably nobody's talking about right now because everybody's reacting to this fresh news. But you're right. Had they not thrown away so many games, and just say over this past month, right, they had shoe-in wins over the Knicks, the Wizards, and they probably should have either beaten the Nets or grabbed another win along these lines, and they would be, you know, sitting inside the play-in tournament bubble currently, just trying to slide in. And start of the season, they did the same thing. I remember them dropping a game they should have beaten against the Indiana Pacers here at home. They were up 18 points against a bad Thunder team, but ended up losing that game. Up on a Hornets team, I remember by double digits, and they threw that one win away. And it's just been, you know, ad nauseum on repeat, these scenarios. So, yes, have they just taken care of business earlier in the year? Then, right, you can probably sustain this and hope to get either Ingram or Zion back in time for any kind of postseason.
Well, if we're going to look ahead, let's really look ahead. Let's look ahead into the offseason. Let's look ahead into next season. You know, we know that this past offseason they brought in a new coach in Stan Van Gundy, and they had literally no preseason activities to try to get into this new scheme and learn what Van Gundy's all about. They had to do all that on the fly in the regular season. Now they're heading into an offseason where they'll have an actual offseason. How much do you think having that actual offseason is going to help this team make a jump forward next season? Because we basically know most of what the roster is going to look like. A lot of these young guys are still going to be here, and Brandon Ingram's already locked in. We don't know about Lonzo Ball and a couple of other pieces, but for the most part, this roster is going to look pretty similar next year. How much do you think, having had a year under Van Gundy, knowing what he's all about, and then having an offseason to actually work on the schemes, how much do you think that's going to aid this team going forward?
Oh, I think it's going to help immensely. And I think we're beginning to see some fruits of them being together long enough, despite the lack of practices, because I don't know if anybody's noticed, but the last 15 games, guess who has the number one defense in the league? It's the Pelicans.
How? So how is that possible?
For months. I know. Somehow they flipped the script. Now the offense isn't doing so well, but you're now seeing that they are not allowing as many open three-pointers, that teams are coming in blistering them from that three-point line as we saw in the first 3 months. So they've made headway in basically Stan Van Gundy figuring out what works best with the guys he has on that roster and basically stopping teams. And when you see that they do have Zion and B.I., even though the offense has slipped, you know that they've got two of the best scorers in the league. So offense really, it shouldn't be a problem going forward once you fill out the rest of this roster with a little bit more shooting, everyone feels like. So, no, I think it'll be fantastic. You get this. Keep this largely the same group together when they've shown an ability to score with the best and now start defending like they should above average. Well, that bodes well when you've got such a young core, right? I mean, we've got to mention the positive news today that Najee Marshall became officially a Pelican with a regular NBA contract for 3 years, that Didi Lozada is here. He's cleared his work visa, and chances are with all these injuries, we're going to start seeing him play before the season's over, probably even tonight. So, no, the future is definitely bright, guys, without a doubt.
I was going to ask you about Didi, whether or not we might see him tonight or going forward here in the last six games. What would you like to see out of Didi Lozada? We know he played well in Australia.
Yeah, you just want to see him get his feet wet. I know that it sounded like the idea of bringing him over from Australia now was just to get him acclimated to the new teammates, coach, and, of course, getting him signed to an NBA contract. That if he would have seen any games, it probably would have come during the last week where you weren't going to put him under any pressure to basically try and help you win, right? It would have come during probably irrelevant type of minutes because he's probably not ready, right? He doesn't understand the system, teammates and such, and Pelicans were still playing at the time for a play-in tournament spot. But now I think that's all out the window. So now you're right. You want to see what he can do, what he showed in Australia, and that's, of course, being a defensive stalwart. He was known for locking down guys, and really that's what this team still needs, even though they've improved defensively, because Eric Bledsoe is not going to be a part of this future, I foresee. And Lonzo Ball, he's a good defender. He's not that Drew Holiday, right, that really locked-down, pesky defender that supposedly Didi is. So I'm real excited to see that.
Ali Cosell joining us. You can check out his work at thebirdwrights.com. And, Ali, I got to go back to Zion just for a minute at least. What went on? I saw that David Griffin basically went off and kind of went into NBA officiating for not giving those calls on Zion.
Yes, he did. That was the biggest thing everybody took from today's Zoom call, was the fact that his tone of his message was clearly one, was that it was a shot fired at the NBA officials and how they really haven't called games correctly. I mean, look, we've all been frustrated to have watched games, right? You can see when he's getting hit and the calls aren't there, the whistles aren't there. We've, you know, either on Twitter or written in stories or talked to you guys on the radio, we've mentioned this, right? This has been known for months.
Yeah.
And now, unfortunately, according to Griffin, you know, he feels like this was an avoidable situation because Zion, he had already been playing through a finger or a hand injury on his other hand, his non-dominant hand, his right hand. But against the Warriors, he broke a left ring finger, right? So now he definitely can't play. And the reason Griffin says for this is because opponents basically know that they can get away with way more times than not of being physical, of swinging down, swiping down when he's either driving or he's just in the paint, surrounded in traffic, that most calls aren't going to get called. And that's unfortunate. And it's true. I mean, we all remember, I think, at least what Steve and I, and probably you too, Mark, of when Shaq was playing, right? He used to get beaten up, and it's because he took most of his shots from inside the lane, just like Zion does. It's where there's a lot of contact, and you've got to be able to protect those players. If that's what they're best at, and if these rules have any kind of meaning, then they've got to be called properly, and they haven't, and opponents have taken advantage, and now, of course, the Pelicans are bearing that unfortunate incident, the responsibility of now watching their superstar sit on the bench for probably the rest of this year.
Yeah, I definitely remember the Hack-a-Shaq days, and of course, Shaq didn't help himself because he didn't generally make his free throws, and so you knew if you went in there and hit him hard enough and knocked the ball out, he wasn't going to make you pay at the charity stripe. Zion seems to be improving at the free throw line, but my question is, you know, do you agree with this mentality that, you know, if you're a young guy in the NBA, you've got to earn the fouls? Or I feel like the game should be called the same way for everybody, don't you?
No, absolutely. I'm not one that believes in a player needing to build any kind of reputation. The rules are there for a reason. They should be called as such. And so with Zion, I mean, look, I know that he gets to the free throw line, I think Griff said, and we all know that about fourth most in the league. So he's getting there his fair share of times, but when you compare it to how many shots he takes right from the lane, how many times he's inside there, well, it's not nearly enough, especially when, of course, you count all the times he's getting hit that aren't getting whistled. So, no, from that standpoint, you've got to feel for the guy. And the next question you've got to ask, guys, right, is should Zion be flopping more, yelling more? Because as Griff mentioned, Zion is yet to receive a technical foul this year. I mean, he's such a good kid. That's not his style.
Right.
It's never been. But now it's almost like the NBA is going to force him to have a personality change, that he's going to have to scream, yell, flop just to get.
I hope not, Ali. I hope not.
Calls. I don't either. But, hey, look, the system's rigged against him now. So unless they change it, unless what Griffin said today somehow, you know, gets the wheels turning within league offices, hey, we got to fix this, then really that's the only path you could probably present to Zion as a potential solution, right? I mean, he's not going to stop doing what he's best at, but yet you want him to feel protected to get his fair share of calls. So, yeah, I don't want to go for option B either, guys. Definitely not, because I love seeing the way he plays the game. I wish more would.
I agree with what Stan Van Gundy said about it, where it's like he's being punished for his strength, for the fact that he doesn't go down easy and flop, like you said.
Precisely. I mean, the game visually is fun to watch when you don't have these stoppages, when you have all these flailing stoppages of going to the free throw line. Because, look, I really think that the biggest thing isn't going to be Zion's going to get 25, 30 free throw attempts a game. It's the fact that he's going to stop getting fouled so much, right? So we're still going to have that great game, but now he's not going to have to cry, complain to referees to get his fair share of calls. And now, I mean, that's in danger, without a doubt. I mean, if this guy is, you know, having a busted finger in one hand, who knows what happened to his other hand? And we know how strong he is. Well, that's just not good, and that can't continue. That can't be allowed to happen. So I'm glad Griffin said what he did, Stan Van Gundy. Let's hope something comes of it from the league's office.
Well, look, if the Pelicans end up hiring Manu Ginobili as an assistant coach in the offseason, we'll know why. He'll be Zion's flop coach.
Yeah, you're right. We definitely don't want to see that transpire, right?
Ali Cosell, editor-in-chief of thebirdwrites.com. I hate to say enjoy the game tonight because it might be a tough ask, but the Pelicans do play the 76ers in about 13 minutes, 6 o'clock tip-off, and we'll have to see how that one goes. I know it's not the lineup we wanted to see.
No, it's not, but maybe a miracle happens. Like I said, maybe Lonzo goes for 40 because, you know, he's going to have to shoot at least 25 times.
Got to earn that next contract, right?
That too, exactly. And he's been playing well, so let's see him finish the season strong.
All right, Holly, I'm going to hope that my don't get any more gray hairs either tonight, but I'm feeling you. Every time I'm looking in there, I feel like the Pelicans keep adding another one to my scalp.
Yeah, that's no fun, but hey, we can't blame everything on the Pelicans, right?
Right, exactly.
Ali Cosell, thanks for the time. Mark Menard, Steve Geller coming right back on Sports Talk on WWL.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.